Welcome to the latest 8-4 play super special, mini special, JJ.
Super special!
Combo! maybe a Metal Gear theme would have been better.
Yeah.
Super special. I can't really
super
do it.
Super special.
Sound like Snake, like he's dying.
I can't
Metal
do it.
Gear.
I can't. Metal Gear. I can't do it.
8-4 play.
Anyway, yes, this is the, we called an audible. And this is the only podcast about metals and gears and Metal Gears. I'm your host, Mark Gaming Jesus McDonald. With me are the core crew. We're down a man or two today just because we're running lean because this is a mini episode called an emergency based on what we saw yesterday at the Metal Gear 25th anniversary party.
Our listeners flashed the 8-4 play signal.
It was industry shaking, to say the least.
Indeed. So,
were you shook?
Yes,
I was. You weren't even there.
I wasn't.
You were shook from afar.
Yeah,
you were shook by our tweets.
Aftershock.
So, just a quick intro to everybody. Using the Metal Gear name generator at rummonkey.com, I think is the name of it. But I think I found a problem with the Metal Gear name generator, which will probably become apparent as you see your names are. This is why I was asking you what your middle name was.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Oh.
So that person who was not along but is here to play the everyman out there. Who
I was one of
questions.
You.
Yes.
The enthusiastic
wondering
listener.
If my bosses were dead.
Yes.
For like 20 minutes.
Yeah. That is Justin Shotgun Spider Epperson.
That's pretty cool.
Right?
Shotgun Spider.
You think so, but... okay. That's what I thought when I saw the first Metal Gear name generated. Across from him in attendance with us at the event yesterday in downtown Tokyo, one Hiroko Shotgun Maggot. Minamoto.
I'm starting to see a trend.
Starting to maybe catch on what maybe the problem is in Metal Gear name generator. And finally, the third person, a busy tweeter, he hit the maximum number of pictures allowed in one day.
I did.
By Twitter at the event, gaining, 300 some odd followers.
Yeah.
In the bargain, John Shotgun Crocodile. Ricciardi.
So wait, what happened there?
I don't know. I actually put in JJ with his middle name, Justin David Epperson for the Wikipedia update. People out there, and still got Shotgun Spider. I reloaded the page.
It must be like just the word Justin is what it's looking at.
Well, but
yeah, but
same with John
and
everything.
Everybody's Shotgun.
Maybe it's like Shotgun Day or something.
Yeah. I wasn't, but anyway.
What were you?
I can't remember. It was something...
Transferring Tiger.
Octopus, maybe? Decoy? No, that's a real character. Sorry, you get them mixed up sometimes. Anyway, so basically, yes. So we saw a bunch of things happen at this event yesterday, but I think we want to start off with the nitty-gritty, the stuff. We have a lot of questions from people from Twitter, but maybe we'll start off just running through the live demo of... Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes.
We're not going to talk about all the exciting stuff that came before that, like social ops.
Long John.
Right.
Maybe
Long
if we have Metal Gear underwear.
Maybe we have time then. You were very excited by the parts of
Rising.
Rising.
Rising was awesome.
Yeah, which we really you had good. Not seen before, but had been seen shown before at Gamescom.
Right.
That actually reminds me, so we should mention, there's a couple things I want to mention up top, actually, before we get into the the nitty-gritty. One... And we say this before on our regular podcast, but if you're tuning in because you're a Metal Gear fan, if you don't know, we're 8-4 Limited. We localize games. We work with a lot of Japanese game companies.
Right.
We have worked with Koji Pro in the past. They are a client. Mm-hmm. We do different things. You might have seen a certain transferring video with some fool who was silly enough to agree to it. Etc. So if you are concerned about Tobias, we are Tobias.
Yeah.
And not Tobias, but
right.
Tobias. So, yep, turn off the podcast now. That's fine. Yeah.
That is not to say we do give our honest opinions on the show. Just not.
I can't.
Some of our
that.
Opinions maybe aren't just
I'm
not
just
getting.
Saying.
That's a good way to put it.
Full disclosure there. Also, we do know Kojima, director Hideo Kojima. This one started off a Hideo Kojima game in the demo, but is going to PAX.
Mm-hmm.
And he does have a speech or session or panel. And so I'm just saying, if I would have liked to have seen this thing myself without knowing anything about it. So if you're going to be at PAX or whatever and have any chance of going to that panel or don't want it spoiled for yourself or whatever.
That's a good point.
Again, yeah. this like tomorrow. This mm-hmm. podcast is coming out on a Friday. That is going to
There's no guarantee that it's going to be on the net, right?
There's no guarantee that it's going to be on the net. I don't know exactly what they're going to show. I would imagine there would be rioting in the streets. Yeah. Literally, yeah. if they had this and didn't show it.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
So, but I don't know that it's going to be shown outside of PAX or whatever. I'm just saying, I don't want people to think, oh man, if I would have just waited one day. So maybe come back and listen to this afterwards. Maybe we'll have spotted some stuff you didn't, because I right. think there's some stuff other people will spot that we didn't for sure.
Definitely, definitely.
Mm. And the last thing is, we don't want to like overhype it exactly. I mean, we're super excited. I don't want to ruin this for people. That's what I'm really concerned about. I don't want people to be like, oh, well, I listened to an hour-long podcast about it. And so I think expectations have so much to do with how you perceive something. So if you're at all worried about that or susceptible to that or whatever, just turn off the podcast now.
Wait till next week when we have our Super Nintendo extravaganza.
Yes, or the beginning of it, or yeah, come back afterwards. Anyway, yeah. So with that said, anybody who's still around, let's get into it. So the theater darkened. A special message went up. No tweeting this, no taking pictures, no doing anything with your cell phone.
Right.
And people lined the walls of this theater we were in downtown mm-hmm. Tokyo for a larger event. And there were, like we mentioned a little bit earlier, if you missed it somehow on the net, there were a bunch of announcements. The Metal Gear movie, mm-hmm. Metal Gear Social Game. They showed off Rising again, Revengeance. Merchandise, et cetera, et cetera.
And then the Metal Gear movie thing was pretty big news, too. Yeah. Like, that was kind sure. of like the shot heard. I think that probably is what they were talking about shaking the industry, I'm guessing. I don't know.
No, I think, well.
Yeah, just like the Resident Evil movie.
It was the 1-2 punch of the movie and the you know, the Ground Zeroes, perhaps.
So there had been this kind of buildup early on in the, I mean, very dramatic, heartfelt, but with the mm-hmm. the host mm. of the event in a very breathy, very like Metal Gear voice.
Yeah, he's a famous actor.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and so what was he talking about, basically, Hiroko?
Well, he was talking about so it was very dramatic. Yeah. And he was talking about how Japan used to be number one in gymnastics at the Olympics mm-hmm. Several years ago, but then we had a dark time, and then at this Olympics we were able to come back and get the gold medal. And he was explaining that the same thing is happening in the game industry. So mm-hmm. Japan used to be the number one people in the whole game industry. Everybody looked up. Had a lot of respect for Japan, but nowadays, you know, we don't see ourselves shining as much as we used to.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
were you tearing up at
yeah,
all?
Yeah, I was. I had my handkerchief in my hand the whole time.
Did it actually hit you though? Like the patriotic like feeling? Like
it hit me, and I'm not even Japanese. I was like feeling it. It was great. I mean, it was like really. I was thinking like that was the. Never mind KJ Inafune like ripping Japan to pieces. That's what like Japan industry needed to hear, basically, was to be in that audience and watch that video and like that speech, because it was inspiring. Like, if you were a Japanese creator, you'd be like feeling like, I can do it, like after seeing that.
Right. And you know, like somebody like Kojima-san, like, has a character that, you know, you wouldn't think that he would go up there and say, okay, I'm not number one in the world. Like, mm-hmm. to admit that. But he did say that, like, right at the beginning of when he came out, he said that. And then he said, you know, we have to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was touching. And I think it was a great, like, drama that they built up to show everything.
So it definitely set the stage for this kind of groundswell of, okay, we are here today to actually prove something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have something to show you that's going to do this.
Right.
And then they did a lot of people commented a very Steve Jobs Apple presentation. Oh, and one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
They did it in a very Metal Gear way, where it was like, okay, well, we're going to clear, you know, there'll be snacks and whatever afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And we're making like it was the end of the conference.
Right. Yeah, it had already been going on for like, what, an hour? Maybe?
Over an hour.
Yeah, right.
Hour and
even
a half,
like
maybe.
Right at the beginning, Kojima was like, okay, now I'm going to show you the big stuff, the stuff that you guys have been waiting for. And then he announced a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, everybody else was waiting for, like, everybody was waiting for something else. But like, and he knew about that.
Right.
But, you know, he kind of like, built it up that way. So
right. And then Avi Arad, the producer of the Marvel Studios, came up and basically like talked for like 10 minutes straight, which is hilarious.
It was longer than that.
Well, it felt like that, but we should. Why don't we go through it from the beginning?
No,
because it's not dramatic if you just start right at the money shot. Because
it's
like,
really boring.
No. I'm not saying go through it in depth.
A lot of time on that stuff.
But just all right. Well, just some perspective then. The perspective is like there was the movie. Then there was The Social Three. Game.
Yeah.
Then there was Rising. Then there was, like Mark said, there was the tease, like, you know, okay, one more thing. But then that one more thing that they came out was a bunch of, like,
it was a
clothing
watch.
And watches yeah. and action figures.
And on the internet, like people were already like, fuck.
Everybody
okay.
had
really?
Up at this point.
Yeah, it was
yeah.
just like, oh,
that's the
over.
Drama I want to, like, express uh-huh. because, like, everybody had given up at that point.
The animated GIFs started pouring out. Like, they
oh,
had
really?
They had to ban, like, really creepy animated GIFs for some reason.
Okay, well, let's actually get to what it
right.
is now. I just wanted to, yeah, we set the stage. So.
And so everything went dark. You guys
so
stopped tweeting.
Thing
and then.
Comes up saying, basically, in English and Japanese, and spoken in Japanese and then English, saying...
no photos.
No photos, mm-hmm. no nothing.
No social networking.
To the point where people and even us were wondering afterwards, like, shit, are we not supposed to be able to talk about this afterwards?
Yeah, he even explicitly said, like, including members of the press, because there were some press
yeah,
there
yeah.
as well. We weren't
so
there.
No SNSing, no nothing.
And there were, like, a bunch of guard people.
So,
like,
yeah, people, yeah. like, filed out, and they lined the walls, and they were watching like hawks.
Mm-hmm.
If you had – I had my cell phone in my hand but didn't have it on, wanted to use a notepad. Somebody we know actually – used their notepad just to take notes on their iPhone and actually got taken away.
Taken out of the theater.
Got taken out of the theater for that. And I rested at one point in the demo. I had my cell phone in my hand and rested my chin on it, you know, like mm-hmm. the thinker. And for like a second, and all there was like a bustle in the corner of my eye, and guys were like looking at stuff, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm just going to very
because,
slowly
you know,
put my cell phone
the,
back down.
The way you're holding it, like the camera is,
I know,
is hanging out, and
I know.
You could
I
be very
after
easily.
The fact, it was actually would be the most perfect way.
Yeah,
there.
It's
right,
very,
right.
very
yeah.
smooth way to.
Except for all the noises, because the Japanese versions of iPhones actually have
right.
audible noises when you take video or photos, which
yeah,
the
yeah, video
is
just a bong.
You can't. You can't
right.
turn that
but you
off,
can't
though.
Make that. You can't hide that. So,
well, yeah, you can cover the speaker, but JJ no. never does that when he takes pictures of women on the train.
Yep. I want them. I want them to know.
He wants them to feel the terror.
He tastes the fear. So anyway, that sets the stage. So that's why a lot of people asked too why we weren't tweeting during it and et cetera. That's why
people didn't know what
no.
was happening during that
no.
silence.
No, I was in the middle
knew.
Of a tweet that said
oh
like
God.
We have to stop
yeah.
tweeting, and then they started looking at me. You
yeah.
saw me, right? And then I was like,
saw
okay.
him typing, and I'm like, okay,
so
you better put that phone down.
I like
or
took my hand and like very exaggeratedly like held my phone up and then like lifted it out to the side like a conveyor or something, and slowly put it down and
it
inserted
like,
it in my pocket.
You
so they
like
could see me.
I saw you put it.
Yeah,
you looked like a crane game.
I did. That's what I felt like. I wanted them to see. Look, it's going in the pocket. Leave me alone.
It was like a loaded weapon, basically. You like would put it away. Way in that same way. So mm-hmm. so then it
right.
starts. So Fox Engine mm-hmm. logo comes up, which is their new engine, which we've seen before previously. And then who wants to start off what we saw? I think we should just go through it in basic kind of chronological order, what the kind of more facts of it was, and then maybe we can talk about general impression.
Well, right at the very start, Kojima spoke a little bit, right? Before, like, they brought the logo up, but then they didn't actually play the movie. He talked a little bit about how, like, he gave the history of the Fox Engine and how they've been working on this for, like, 5 years, and then, like, basically said that, even though they've shown it before, I know they showed it, like, didn't they show it in that thing you were in? The
yeah.
video? So they've shown it before, but he was like, now we're actually going to show you the results of the Fox Engine, was, like, the exact words he used. Like,
right.
so, it was like kind of like saying, this is the first time you're going to see what all the
okay.
work was.
So.
And then... then I think the movie,
so
started.
Movie starts. Mm. Mm-hmm. And
I'm trying to think how the movie started. Do you remember how it started?
A dinosaur came out and started wrecking New York City.
All right. So generally, people are going to turn this podcast off.
Oh, there
they
were
don't
people.
Actually start talking about yeah. the thing that people are listening for. So
they're fine. They're not in a rush. Relax.
So anyway, the general, it was basically this. Start of the game is what it seems like. And
right.
it starts off with a cinema, real-time cutscene, almost kind of seemed almost point of view. It wasn't to the point where you saw someone's hands while they were walking, and the camera wasn't bobbing up and down like a person walking.
So like a first-person shooter.
But not like that exactly. It was shot at an eye level.
Mm.
And it moved around with this group of people and was closely cropped. It wasn't changing camera angles and whatever. The whole thing, as I recall, was done just from a point of view.
Okay.
And it started off a group of military Pete looking guys, including some guys in kind of looked like a fighter pilot or a paratrooper gear and helmet and whatever.
Right.
Surrounding a guy who seemed like kind of the leader, who was wearing, I want to say, kind of more of a trench coat.
He had a trench coat. Right, it like almost looked
cape.
It might have been like leather or something. It looked leather because of the way the lighting was reflecting off it, but it's kind of actually hard to tell. Yeah, but.
So it's at night. It's raining. Mm-hmm. You can't see too much of a draw distance, but they're basically pulling up to a base. And on this base, I think it was called Camp Omega, as there was a name on the base.
Yeah,
there was Spanish writing around, like on the fence and stuff like that. It was basically a compound. And this group is let into the base. Fence opens or whatever. They're let into the base. They file in. This guy with the trench coat and a hat, who you're not really seeing very much at all. You're just kind of seeing his back.
Yeah, they make it a point not to show his face for a while.
His head and all. And they approach a cage in the compound, and you see guys as you're going there. It almost looks like a Guantanamo Bay kind of situation, where you see, even though it's outside and raining, there's a lot of guys outside, prisoners, like hogtied with their bags over their heads and stuff that you're seeing around in kind of the background. And there's some guards milling about.
Some people come up to greet them, like at the fence where they arrive from the inside.
And there's a bunch of cages inside this fence. And so you guys file in, you walk over to one of the cages, and there's a boy in the cage in kind of torn, older looking medical scrubs, sort of, I want to say, or maybe it was a prisoner uniform.
Yeah, it was like orange. So I don't know what
blonde
it was.
Hair.
But.
Blonde hair. I would guess, I don't know, what
12,
age would you 10? Put it at? 10,
10,
something like that?
Yeah.
Sitting on the floor.
Sitting on the ground.
With
and
earplugs in his ears.
With your headphones on. And the headphones are plugged into like a, looks like surgically implanted sort of thing in his chest.
Yeah. Tony Stark.
You can't really see anything, but it's just like a headphone jack.
Yeah.
It looks like it was surgically implanted there or something. One thing also, actually, I should say is I don't think any of us have finished Peace Walker, right?
No.
So that might be important. This might all be obvious. A lot of the stuff that I've read on the internet after the fact, and we'll get into sort of why a little bit later as stuff is revealed. But
sure.
So if you're screaming out like, you idiots, this is everybody had headphone jacks put in their chests in the bed into Peace Walker. That's why. So apologies. There's definitely people out there that know more about this than us.
Right.
So anyway, then they have a conversation. The leader guy, actually, I guess it's just him talking to the kid.
Right.
What do you remember, Hiroko, of what he said? It was in Japanese. It was subtitled in Japanese. But so do you remember much?
She
of?
Said they talked to the girl, as you said. The girl talked, told us everything.
Mm.
And as you said, we gave her a good ending, is what he said. And then, the little boy wasn't making any eye contact to him.
Right.
But then after that, the guy was like, okay, as a treat, here you go. Here's your treat. And he handed him that.
Like a tape, a little like Walkman almost, like a tape recorder.
Basically. Exactly, like a Walkman, right? So, which is like a clue like to the time period.
Right.
Thinking like, oh, okay, threw it in the cage.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then, at this point, like I hadn't, what Hiroko just said helps make it a little more sense, but they were, I don't know if you noticed, but the whole time, the guy in front of me had like Japanese, like spiky hair, and I was like, couldn't see the subtitles, like the whole movie, I'm like trying to see in front of him. So I couldn't actually tell exactly what was being said all the time, but I was thinking that maybe they were giving the thing to this kid because he had a thing in his chest to like decode something or something, but no, it turns out it was actually just like a present, basically.
So that, and that song was the, because it popped up. The credits were on the screen. Yeah, like a lot of Japanese movies and games and stuff are really careful with copyrights, so everything pops up on the screen, and it showed up. It was a Joan Baez song from a movie. The name of the song is "Here's to You." It came out in a 1971 movie, Italian movie, which I guess this song was also on the soundtrack of Metal Gear Solid 4. I don't know at what point in the game it was played, but so 1971, it became a hymn. This is from the Wikipedia for the 1960s and 70s civil rights movement. So that's kind of interesting. I mean, maybe as far as time setting. And so that's right. The first clue that, okay, maybe this is kind of in the post Peace Walker era.
Definitely.
Which is
what
a lot of people
at that
saying.
Point, that was, seemed pretty clear.
So
I think
Kid plugs it in. He throws the cassette, the mystery leader guy throws the Walkman to the kid. It shows the kid's face for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think the idea there was to show off the facial tech of Fox Engine, which I have to say personally was not super impressed by. I could not actually tell what the kid just looked kind of vaguely concerned.
He was hesitant. Tell they were trying to show hesitation, but it wasn't coming off as good as like some of the Western stuff we've seen as far as facial expressions up close.
Just as far as like the state of the art stuff. And this is all in real time. They stress this is real time.
Right.
I guess if we're going to start talking about that though, we should say like overall, I thought it looked excellent. You were seeing close-ups of helmets and guys and stuff like that. It wasn't the most complicated scene, but the lighting and the rain and reflections, and people were wearing kind of that jumpsuit kind of military gear that believably when it's wet looks very reflective. It doesn't look fake when it gets shiny like game wet stuff does in games. Right. It actually makes it look how it actually looks. So also just the way it was shot, I think, had a lot to do with making you feel like, you know, you were there and really interested in like what's going on. Like the story part really was the mystery of it was kind of bringing you in.
Really, really well done. Yeah.
So they the group then after throwing the cassette tape to the kid.
The group also said, now you're a real soldier. The end to the little boy.
And they said, say hello to the boss. Boss ni wo yoroshiku. But I don't know. They don't, you know, like in all Metal Gear, boss could mean a lot of things. Like, and so does Snake, right? Snake, you say Snake, you don't even know which Snake they're talking about. So in the same way, they said boss, but you don't know if that means like literally somebody named boss or just the boss or whatever. So they do that too. Right, a boss.
Your boss at the Quickie Mart or whatever.
Right.
So they file out. Get back on their jeeps and the quote unquote camera, whoever it is, if it's a person or not. I mean, again, you're not seeing hands and stuff. It just gets close. So the little group, though, gets back on their jeeps and there's like a jeep ride then. And again, it's just kind of showing off the tech. But you're seeing everything you're seeing is very close quarters. You're seeing just it's almost like weird angles. You're seeing like just up and at a close up of a person. You're not seeing like huge sweeping vistas.
No, they did a lot of interesting stuff with the cameras because even there was that one point where they literally put the camera upside down like during that. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Like where they actually flipped the camera over. You know, there's a part of the trailer where during this Jeep thing where they're moving the camera, whereas like it's not a realistic thing obviously because the camera's going upside down, but it's done for effect and it was really cool just to sort of show the environment.
Why did it go upside down?
I don't know. Yeah, there's a part you'll see.
Just panning around.
Yeah. But something else about that whole scene too is so when they gave the kid the radio, he turns it on and first you hear it like from the outside, like you kind of hear like maybe a muffled version from his earphones and then it actually comes on in full like as it's the trailer's music while this Jeep thing is happening. And I thought that was really awesome because it was very reminiscent of those like old like it reminded me of Platoon for some reason, but remember like the old military movies when they would have like kind of the you know the military music, the songs that were popular for the people in the army and stuff playing while the stuff is going on.
It's one
of those like sort of things happening. It's really nice.
So they roll up on a airbase, it seems like, or maybe it's the same compound. It couldn't have been that far. Maybe it's the airfield for this same base. And the mystery leader guy, who you're kind of starting to just get like little glimpses of the back of his head. You could see it, just little glimpses of his neck.
He had a hat on, which is like a, what would you call that? Is that a...
That is like a colonel. Like think of the guy who says like in Apocalypse Now, like I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory. Like whatever that is, a corporal or whatever. It's like an old kind of style, almost like cowboy hat, like an F troop looking kind of thing.
Right.
He was wearing one of those, which is actually
really
cool.
How many people will know what F troop is?
He probably got it from Apocalypse Now. Like Kojima probably got it from Apocalypse Now. But you do see glimpses of his neck, and I couldn't tell exactly, but it was like, is he burned or something?
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong? Something's wrong with his. At least his neck is the only part you could really see too well. And maybe glimpses of it. And I was like, I think that the something there or something. But then you're starting to get kind of more glimpses of it as he and his guards, escorts, whoever they are walking up to a helicopter that's ready, like getting ready to take off. He takes a, looks like a black light kind of flashlight thing, and it says
Fox,
XOF.
Right? Or did it say XOF?
The, on the side of Fox backwards, but it says that on the side of the helicopter. He takes this black light and runs it across it, and it takes off. They're kind of the call letters or whatever they're called that identify from the outside what a aircraft is. You know what I'm talking about, JJ?
No,
you don't know what I'm talking about.
Just trying to make sure,
like on the side of a on the side of a helicopter, if it says like 504962,
maybe I've
those big white block letters, sort of things. Side under the not the tail. Well, maybe it is the tail. Of the
So tell me, did he remove it or did he just like highlight it in the black light? Like
it,
because
it looked like he removed it.
It disappeared. For
that's what I thought
did,
too. It disappeared. But if it was a black light, he might have also been showing it in the light.
There's probably some sort of ink that disappears when it's exposed to a certain type of light.
I don't know that it was a black light. It just looked like
I honestly couldn't tell.
It was exposed, and then as he held the light thing up upon it, it disappeared.
Okay. And it probably plays into so what happens next is he gets in the helicopter along with the quote unquote camera, whatever it is, and the other guys. And again, it's all being shot close quarters, and all of the guys are taking a patch off of themselves and handing it to him. And we see later that the patch is, it looks like the, fox patch, foxhound patch, the fox with the lightning bolt legs or whatever, but it says XOF on it. And he's gathering them all up. So he has like a handful of them, and, the helicopter starts taking off. And so you're seeing this guy, and another helicopter in the distance, which is like another part of this group, and the camera is staying the same, but the just the background and everything's moving. So it feels, again, like you're in the helicopter. Really cool. Like that was something, too, that felt like, whoa, because you just sort of see the background start to get small and whatever while all these guys are animating. And he takes the patches and tosses them out the side of the helicopter.
You see them sort of flutter in the wind a little bit.
So you see them flutter in the wind a little bit, and then they're falling down in the rain again in the night. And you see them falling, and they start to fall like near a cliff and whatever. And then the patch falls past like a guy stuck to the side of a mountain who has the has a patch on his suit as well, which is... I don't know if you could see if it was the fox one or not, but it looked a lot. It looked just like the patches that were all fluttering down. And of course, like you're seeing his feet or whatever, but it looks like a sneaking suit, and it rolls up, and you start to see somebody that
I think his patch was the MSF patch,
the military time.
I'm not sure, like because the artwork shows it in detail that they released.
Yes, so he definitely is wearing a military sans frontier or whatever it is, the military without borders patch. Which
Soldiers Without Borders,
Which is another thing that makes people think that this is a post-Peace Walker game. But so maybe it was on his other side, or maybe I'm just mistaken. A lot of this stuff, too, is subject to memory without taking any notes.
Totally.
So.
I can't wait to listen to this and watch it again and see how far off.
And you're like, actually, they started off in an amusement park, and you guys didn't mention there was a UFO. Anyway, so that was like a really cool transition.
Oh, there were dogs, too. Actually, now that you mentioned there were other... to go back a minute, when they showed the fences, they showed like Dobermans or something barking up the fence. And I think that was also just to kind of show that they can make dogs that look kind of real, basically.
Well, they had,
we got dogs.
Dogs, we got them. They had a dog in the early Fox Engine demo that they showed.
The one of the few pictures that is out for it has a dog.
And I think there might have been a Jeep as well.
A tank.
I think it showed a... Well, that was a picture, that I did see. But in the actual demo where it showed the jungle that they had when I was there.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know what they ended up releasing, but there was a dog and there was a little kid. Anyway, so that was a really cool transition, just the patches going down. I actually thought that it was ending then.
They zoom in on the one patch right there, and you're like, okay, this is just the teaser's over.
Yeah. I thought that was it. Not
the teaser was over.
Gameplay or whatever, that's right. But so it... it pans up, snake-like guy crests kind of the mountain that he's climbing, the cliff, and stands up. And takes off. It will, and as he's standing up, you see it, the camera goes up to where you can see sprawling on the horizon, just this huge base.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Again, still night, still raining, but you can sort of see. I mean, the base basically
watchtowers with spotlights on them,
searchlights passing back and forth, and fences. There's like, you know, military vehicles in the way distance moving around. But this thing basically stretches across the horizon. It's just like imagine like a giant electrical plant or something, where it's just like it just goes as far as you can see at night. And it's kind of like, that was kind of the breathtaking, like, oh shit, that's cool.
Reminded me of some of the stuff in some of the stages in Portable Ops, actually, but just on a much bigger scale. You remember how they had those kind of bases? Because I think it was Portable Ops. Yeah, it was Portable Ops. And they had stages like this where you would play through, like, you know, kind of big, exactly this kind of base, basically, but on the scale of like probably times 10. Like, it was just so much huger.
Yeah.
Or just fences. And, you know, if you think of like what you've seen of a military base outside of the U.S., like a Guantanamo Bay or something like that. You know, like a lot of different fences, and it almost looks like a prison yard in some ways, and watchtowers and some structures, but that sort of thing. Anyway, and then you're seeing the camera pans around, the protagonist wearing kind of a sneaking suit has a single light night vision goggle set on. Has kind of a scruffy looking beard coming in, not a full beard.
Didn't they start from his back? So you like saw his butt first, right? Yeah, because that is
his feet,
you know,
and butt, and then it came up.
That's also kind of a staple of the Metal Gear series, though, right? Is they have like this sort of, there's a joke about it sometimes, but like they have like realistic like crawling butt, you know, animation.
Yeah,
or whatever,
you saw him actually crawling a little bit. Yeah. And it was totally like a nice animation, but
totally
it was definitely
reminded me of Metal Gear Solid 1. Like that in the very beginning when he gets out of the sub and crawls under the thing is like the exact same thing, basically.
Yeah, so. And he takes off the night vision for to see. You can see, and people have noticed this in the teaser image. You can see he has an eye patch again. So this leads to pretty much everybody to conclude, okay, this is Big Boss.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is post Peace Walker.
Yep.
He has like a little bits of gray in there. Right, he has a beard coming in, but not full. He did kind of look like Sam Fisher, I gotta say. Like, I was probably like
the
a
homeless
distinct,
Sam Fisher from that canceled person.
Not that far.
Okay.
But is maybe kind of, because they've taken kind of jabs and swipes before, but you know, wearing the night vision and the beard and the like specks of gray and whatever coming in. But
the most realistic. Who is the guy that's, is it Kirk? No, Michael Douglas? No,
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. Yeah. It's like very much like in the vein of
people were saying on the internet, it would be cool if like they could get Kurt Russell to play Big Boss in the movie.
I know.
So,
Everybody kind of knew this was coming, but I mean, that was definitely like, you could hear sort of gasps like in the audience, basically, because because you didn't expect it, but because it was awesome. It was like, oh my God, Big Boss. You haven't seen him like this before. Mm-hmm. He looks awesome. And then he says the trademark.
Right.
Right.
Kept you waiting, huh? Basically.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And I think he was talking with somebody, right?
Yeah.
And then somebody was like, telling him that, you know, it's not bad, like, considering the blank, it's not bad. Like, you got there, like, sooner than they expected.
Mm.
And then after that, he said, Mata
setana.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-mm. So I couldn't tell. I don't know if that was, I mean, for all I know, Master Miller died at the end of Peace Walker. I don't even know if it's him.
Right.
Or who it would be on the other end, because I don't know the Japanese voices very well either. But anyway, so they talk a little bit. There's no codec popping up.
Mm-hmm. God. I mean,
it says like a Hideo Kojima game. They're having a conversation, like the quote unquote credits. There weren't really credits, but it just says in small type letters off to the side, Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes. At first it says a Hideo Kojima game, Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes. Just very understated. It wasn't like, and
awesome.
Switch a title. It just appeared while they were talking.
I got excited when I saw that. And I haven't got excited for Metal Gear probably since like 3 or something. So like, this was really exciting.
Yeah.
Like,
and also, you know, the way
I remember that feeling,
the way Kojima presented it was, he wasn't saying he's going to show the game. He's going to just show the Fox engine. And then that was actually the game that he showed.
Yeah.
So. And it was like, wait, is this the start of the game? Like, that was just the title right there. Wait, what? Like, what's going on?
As soon as you saw dialogue and everything too, you started thinking like, this is not just a normal tech demo. This is kind of a game, I think. And then slowly but surely.
Yeah. So, the next thing that I remember is he pops up, he's checks on his arm. So there's no codec. You're not seeing people's faces represented in any form. They're just talking on a radio. But he checks on his arm, he has some kind of device, and it looks very like prototypical. It looks very like rough and like this is cutting edge tech, but cutting edge tech from like 30 or 40 years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like a basically like a Dead Space like projection that comes off of his arm.
Well, he
and
pushed
shows
a button on
map.
Something too. He held this like cartridge. It almost looked like an 8-track or something. I remember that because it had a big button and like that part looked old.
So maybe it wasn't on his arm.
It was either on his arm or maybe he took it off his arm. I don't remember exactly, but I just remember that the cartridge thing itself definitely looked like old, but then coming out of it was like, what's the movie with the, you know,
Minority Report.
Yeah, it's like Minority Report, like screen.
Well,
overlay.
Not really. No, I almost. Mean, it was like, I mean, it was fuzzy and it was just blue. It was monochrome, you know, and it had like a thing.
It
up
was
in
like
the
a
corner.
Monitor without the monitor. Though, right,
right, right. It, was, right. Like, it was. I mean, the thing I would compare it closest to is like in Dead Space, how things project out of something. And later on, this was part of the not playable yet part. But later on, Kojima, when he's doing the walkthrough of the actual gameplay, pulls up the map later. And that's what this is. It shows, you know, a little triangle where Snake is. Did it show where the guard was seeing and stuff like that? I can't remember. I wish I could remember that stuff.
Yeah, so, I don't know, but I do remember him pointing out about the guard at that point, and then they looked and zoomed in on him, and there he was.
Uh-huh.
And,
so, yeah, before that, though, there's a couple things I want to get to. I'm just trying to remember this radar thing.
Right.
Exactly. Anyway, so there is the radar does exist, but it was not on screen at all times,
right?
At any point that we saw, which is an interesting, has a lot of implications if you think about it. But we'll see, I guess. Anyway, so the next thing is they finish their conversation, very short, and
then it becomes playable. Right?
It becomes playable. Yeah, yeah. So
they
like,
add a dude
oh,
up
shit.
On the screen
finally
with the Xbox controller playing on a PC.
Yeah, an Xbox. Oh, okay. He was
to PC.
A PC.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and somebody, people said that it was a current spec PC, but we don't really have any way of totally knowing.
Right.
So a lot of questions, even people, I guess, after the fact were asking, oh, what platforms?
Right. So what Kojima, when he was explaining it, he never specified a platform, but he was saying this is a Fox engine. This is created on the Fox engine on...
Current generation hardware.
Yeah. And he is also like there is going to be something for the next gen. Like
yeah, he basically said they're working on both current engine. Gen stuff, this, and then also working on next gen
oh,
Fox
good.
Engine stuff.
Because if it was just current gen, they'd be a little late to the party.
Yeah, but this doesn't look late to the party.
Yeah.
Like, that's the nice
really?
Thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean,
it looked amazing.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, I mean, I think the tech itself, from what I could tell of like models and stuff like that, I guess just to do an aside here, because a lot of people are asking, well, so how good did it look? Like, what would you compare it to? The tech itself looked better than what was shown at that Transfaring E3 video last year. Not light years better. I wouldn't say it looked as good as the best stuff that I've seen from a technical standpoint, as far as here's the next Unreal engine throwing a fucking zillion sparks and they're reflecting off of 20 different spheres. But in terms of here it is in an actual game that I'm imagining playing, the lighting in the camp and the base, and they were so smart to do this in a level set at night and in the rain.
Yep.
So just so much atmosphere already, and then also kind of a more natural, maybe limiting line of sight. And not maybe the most complex geometry, but just so much of it. Like you just saw this base and you were like, holy shit, here's this whole huge thing. It's almost like in Skyrim when you saw the mountain out over there and you're like, I can go over there and do that. And there's stuff over there. That's real stuff.
Right, right.
Seeing this base be that way, your imagination just went off and you'd see like a 8 armored, you know, personnel vehicle moving around in it, like going around in the base, and you're like, holy shit, this is like this alive base actually infiltrating this. Like, this would be so freaking cool. It's like Metal Gear 4, second level of that, or aspects of that, but just blown wide open.
Right. Yeah,
and that was what was the goosebump. Holy shit, I'm so excited for this.
It's not like
moment.
We're just sitting there as like tech, you know, nerds like, you know, fawning over like how many gigablops and flip flaps or whatever. It's more like this just looks like it's going to be an awesome game. I trademarked that shit. Yeah. You know, I will say like Koji Pro has always been, I mean, Metal Gear Solid 4, I turned it on like a week or two ago. It still looks amazing. Like those guys do so much with so little. So like this probably isn't like the most, you know, awe-inspiring tech out there, but they make it look like it because they just have amazing artists.
The way they show it, was just amazing.
You've got rain, you've got wind, you've got these lights. Because this part was where that Mark was at basically now, where they took over and control. They basically had the guy controlling Snake and moving him from kind of like, you know, hiding, sneaking point, I guess, to sneaking point to like not get caught by the light. Mm-hmm. Like these lights were like, so the lights on the tower were like going around in a circle.
Yeah, and he wasn't doing a good job.
He wasn't, no.
Yeah, the searchlight was going back and forth, and there was a guy actually moving it, right?
Yeah, and he was like trying to duck under the light when it would like fly by and hide behind a little mountain.
So yeah,
like a little hill.
So that's part of, I think, what's so interesting is, and a smart choice that the geography for the area is so sparse and Spartan. It was basically like just like rocky, whatever ground, that it didn't look weird that there weren't a lot of trees or vegetation or whatever for that area.
Right.
What they showed last time was like a jungle. This is the opposite of that.
Right.
So they could spend all those polys presumably on the base and stuff like that.
And there was little things going on, like when he was crawling, rats would like crawl out of the grass.
That part I noticed. Away.
In
that
fact,
cool.
His little radar thing turned red to indicate something was there, but it was just a rat in the grass, and then the rat like scurried off or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Wait, where was the radar?
I don't know what it was, but there was a little red square. Maybe that was just his gun. I don't know what he was doing.
Like a possible target.
Yeah, I unfortunately don't remember because I was more focused on the scenery. But there was a part where like it turned red to indicate something was there, and it was just a brat.
Well, the part that I was getting to, the little hill thing, what I really liked there was, so they're moving the
spotlight
back and forth, and the lighting on that just looked so fucking cool. Mm-hmm. But the ground was so irregular and natural that you were using the actual natural kind of parts of the
elevations,
ground. Yeah, you were looking at where the shadows were appearing and disappearing from the light moving and just using that on your own. It wasn't like, okay, I definitely have to go here next. This is the next spot.
Right.
It was kind of like,
an obvious spot next, like, rock to go.
Totally. It was like, here is big rock you are going to hide behind next. Then here is next big rock 10 feet ahead more, or like a corner or something. Uh-huh. It was just like, well, I could probably, if I get really down low, I could use that little one. Mm-hmm. And then I could either go over here, I could go over here with this bigger one. So he was like racing to just get behind a hill to be for the shadow to pass. Very like natural, which that was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. And then Kojima was like, maybe you want to get a little lower because you might get caught, and like, you know, it was it looked really natural.
Right.
Mm-mm.
Totally. Yeah. So then let's see, next thing, he wants to take out that guard in that tower.
He tranquilized him. He didn't kill him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. He gets along beside him. The one thing I didn't notice, and I only noticed I didn't notice this after the fact, maybe one of you guys remembered it. Do you remember when he aimed? Was it over the shoulder or was it iron sights?
It was definitely first person, because you remember it zoomed in and it was blurry and then it cleared up and then he zoomed in again.
And then he shot him? I thought he was just using binoculars at that point.
Oh, you got me there. I don't remember if he actually shot right there or if it like came after the fact. But I know it might have been after the fact, actually. Because he did shoot from far away, but he definitely zoomed in, like with some kind of tech. Yeah.
They shot so fast. I remember it happened really fast and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. He like shot him in the neck and he went down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then he spots a Jeep and he's like, oh, maybe we'll go and grab that, take that for a ride.
And at this point, Kojima, I think by this point, Kojima already mentioned that this was open world because he started discussing about how this is going to be an open world game.
Yeah.
And we were kind of like, well, people were thinking, I think, well, what does that mean? Because it certainly doesn't look like GTA or something, you know?
Right.
And then he sees the Jeep and he's like, so this is, since this is an open world game and you could do anything, you could just go and steal that Jeep and, you could do that. So let's do that. And
wasn't he like, oh, I wonder if their keys are in it or whatever?
No, he was saying, so this is a base camp. So the Jeep shouldn't be locked. It shouldn't have a key. So you should be able to get on it and just drive it right up.
And that's exactly what he does. So Snake gets in it, starts it up. The Jeep is just kind of sitting on the side of like the base there, still pretty far out of the way. But he gets in the Jeep, starts to drive sort of towards the base. And then, then a big tank or APC,
like an armored vehicle,
starts coming down the road that he's about to get on towards him. And so they're like, whoa, okay, maybe we shouldn't, you know, go that way, whatever. Which honestly, I don't know. I mean, it worked out great because everybody laughed or whatever in the demo. Uh-huh.
I wonder if that was scripted.
I wonder that, but I also wonder if, because if they actually would have gone, something would have happened, or actually if they would have gone, it would have been obvious that the AI is not
hasn't been done yet, right?
Yeah,
right.
That actually it would have been like you would have broken the spell or whatever.
So how Kojima was explaining that was that he was saying, oh, you're going to get killed if you go like right into him, so let's not do that. And he kept like over and over saying that, oh, we want to do more, but he was blaming the guy was not a good player.
Right.
So he's like, no, that's not how we want to do it. All right. But if you're going to go that way, then maybe just go this way and then go around.
I see. Guy, so maybe he really was trying to tell the guy, come back or you're going to die.
Maybe. But then again, I'm thinking that it was just scripted.
Exactly.
I was looking at it and I was like, okay, if this was for real, this guy is going to get fired like tomorrow. But I was thinking maybe it was just scripted because, you know, he was too bad to be, you know.
The audience got a chuckle out of it though because he like throws the car in reverse and pulls back into the grass.
Exactly. Pulls back into the grass. So he gets out and then he equips a flare, which I can't remember him equipping a flare or what the UI looked like for equipping items.
Oh man, I don't remember either.
So many things where I was just,
you know,
even
up to that point too, like I this whole time I'm thinking to myself, actually even as far back as when he's crawling and aiming and everything, is like, are these Metal Gear Solid 4 controls or are these more slightly more modern controls, especially the Jeep too? I was thinking I wonder if it controls like Halo or if it's got some weird like Metal Gear style control or whatever.
It stayed in third person. I mean, I guess everybody would assume that anyway, but while he was in the Jeep, I'm trying to think if there's any other natural questions with that, but he did not stay in the Jeep very long at all.
No. I just wanted to show that you can grab a Jeep, get it, and drive.
Yeah,
and this is open world, you know.
Yeah, and then after that, so they were short on time, like showing the demo. But he's like, okay, we're short on time, but let's just see how you could escape with a helicopter. So in this game,
an evacuation helicopter or something.
Yeah, you could call it evacuation helicopter at any point.
That seems to be how you get in and out of areas.
Right.
But you have. He was also saying you have to pick the right spot to call a helicopter, or it could get spotted by your enemies and it could get shot down. Or
right, attacked. I mean,
I was wondering about that because it seemed awfully you really know close. The guy who, like, there's got to be other guys in towers are not going to see a helicopter coming.
Right, so he was also saying, so this is not the exact right, like, you know, best point to call a helicopter, but let's just do it so we could show you guys the helicopter.
So he throws out like a yellow flare that's burns bright and starts smoking, and then like a few moments pass, and then you start to hear a brrr, and then from over the side of the cliff, the helicopter comes, which was actually in itself was pretty kind of cool.
Not
that I'd never seen this sort of thing in a game before, but it was just very well done. And helicopter comes down and lands, and the smoke is...
That landing scene was awesome because you got the blade like whirring and it's raining, and then like you see the smoke from the flare is still coming up. I thought it was purple. Was it yellow? Whatever color it was. Okay, this yellow smoke is like coming into the air, and then it's as the helicopter's coming down, you see the smoke sort of blowing away with the wind, and you can really get a feel for like the wind. And it's probably such a normal thing, but it looked awesome. And I think this is just another case of really good art direction, making something normal look good, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. And just set in the world and stuff like that. Like, yeah, I mean, one thing I'm thinking is a lot of people would be like, well, you know, when they finally see it, be like, well, does it really look that much better than like the Splinter Cell, for example, that they showed at E3? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And to me, it's like, well, that's the difference between I actually was a Splinter Cell fan,
right?
But this series that when I'm excited about it, I'm super excited about it, and also just the setting and atmosphere and whatever of the world and me imagining and just being excited to be there. And then the Splinter Cell demo where it was kind of just like, oh, okay, now I'm stabbing guys in the
kill
neck.
Cams.
There was no like setup. There was no like mystery. There was no, I have no like the story in Splinter Cell has always sucked.
Right.
So I have no particular identification with the characters and stuff like that. So even stuff where a lot of people might be rolling their eyes, be like, oh, okay, the helicopter affected the smoke. Gee, I've never seen that before or whatever. Again, all of this stuff is just
big boss.
Please see it in the context.
There,
and yes, we are big
out.
Fans of the series. That absolutely does have something to do with
it's
it.
Awesome.
But but it's not even that it's the most, you know, technical, brilliant sparks demo in the world. It's just was really put together
himself too. Like he was saying that, like, was it in one of the vehicles? There was like a little mirror or a window thing, and he was saying that it was a blur.
Maybe the rearview mirror of the Jeep or something?
Yeah, maybe that was what he was talking about. And he was saying that was a blur, which I really, like, can't, like, take. Like,
it's driving him nuts.
It's driving him nuts. But, you know, this will be, like, you won't see, like, with the next-gen platforms, this will not happen, is what he was saying.
You just reminded me of something. So, you know, the bad guy or whatever, the dude with the hat. Yeah. At what point is there more coming of him, or was he before that? Because at some point you actually do that. See his face.
Yeah, we should have mentioned before he gets in the helicopter.
Right,
you see his face,
shotgun burn.
And
face.
He reminded me of like Hellraiser or something. Like he looked like his face was like charred in like a barbecue or something. Like it looked really nasty.
Yeah,
like,
it did.
And maybe this is something Peace Walker people are like, oh, duh, that's so and so.
It's shotgun burn face.
Duh. Something else, actually, one other thing to mention, and I don't know if anybody else caught on to this, but when you got into the helicopter, there was like this yellowish, glowish circle that happened around the characters. And at that point, it was still just a cutscene, but there was like a yellowish glow circle. But it happened when Snake gets onto the helicopter as well. It looked like it looked like these little like chandelier shards, but purely made out of light that was surrounding a circle around him that just glowed and then faded out. I think that's the save. I'm guessing that's the save indicator that happens when you automatically saving at the end, near the end of a cutscene, and then later when the helicopter picks you up, that it's just an autosave. They didn't mention that or address it at all.
Right.
But so Snake gets on the helicopter.
Yeah, like a little door opens and sort of folds out kind of to let him like step up, like a little kind of ramp, I guess, to get up onto the chopper.
Yeah. And the last, I guess, probably last thing, awesome detail that I noticed was just how good some of the animations were. So then the camera goes behind Snake's back, and he's at the door of the helicopter as it takes off, and it stays open, and you have kind of that cool effect again where you're seeing the ground shrink away.
And that kind of blur effect.
In the rain, And but he wipes his face and beard, like, just after, like, he's probably doing nothing for like 10 or 15 seconds, and then he's just like wiping his face and beard down because it's been raining on him this whole time. Or maybe he's just tired or whatever. But it was just like a nice little touch that was like, wow, okay, cool.
Can you like see his beard like deform when he touches it and stuff like that? Or
no, I mean, you're not seeing his, you're seeing him from the back.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. One thing that was interesting too, like,
incredibly detailed.
I want to see the trailer again, because I noticed, you know, when he got on the chopper at the end there, he had just gotten out of like pouring rain, but it was dark and I couldn't really tell if like the rain had actually affected his like hair and his face or not. Like it was kind of hard to tell, like, if, because, you know, like models, like maybe his hair looks the same whether it's raining or not, but I couldn't tell. I want to look at that again when we see it at home.
Yeah, I mean, the overall impression to me was that it was not as high poly as a lot of the stuff you've seen, but that, like, pretty much every Metal Gear game as it's happened, it wasn't that it was particularly super low poly, but like every Metal Gear, I feel like the texture work more than made up for that. And to the point where when people were saying, oh yeah, it's coming out on current gen, I was like, really? I just assumed it was next gen. It was I'm not even saying that this looks as good as next gen. It's just that was my natural assumption without anybody saying anything. For whatever reason, I was like, oh well, okay, I'll be playing this either on the next system or whatever when
it
comes out.
It does look it looks really, really, really good. Like, it's definitely
a current system that looks really good. Like like current system, it's like, okay, when people said that, I was like, okay, that's not like it's impossible. I can imagine it, but holy shit, that looks really good for current gen.
Yeah, definitely.
And at the end he said, you know, he's not planning to make people wait for a long time. So he kind of implied that it's going to come out rather soonish than, like,
hopefully next year.
It'd be awesome if it was next year, because this year would be, well, early next year, I guess, is Rising. And
it's going to at least be, hopefully spring or summer.
It can't be earlier than the very earliest would be the end of next year.
Very earliest, I would say. 2013.
Something else totally random, but do you guys remember there was a part, because she mentioned a mirror, and that reminded me that there was a part where I don't remember if it was the bad guy or if it was Snake, but they were doing something, and over on the bottom of the screen was a mirror, and they actually made it so that when he's standing in front of it, you saw his patch in the mirror. and it was either the Foxhound logo or something else, but I don't remember what. So keep an eye out for that if you watch the trailer. That was some sort of hint as to his.
Keep an eye out for it, John.
Zing. See what you did. And there's I'm sure there's tons of stuff that we're missing and clues and stuff.
Well, they talked about the two. What are the characters in Peace Walker? They talked about Paz and what's the other one's name? I forgot already. Rico or Chico. Pico or something.
Chico, maybe. Rico? Chico. Enrico from Resident Evil 1.
They're talking about them in the beginning in the conversations, the guys who are going up to the kid, and they mention those names or at least twice.
They also mentioned Mother Base, I think, which was is the Peace Walker name for your little thing, your actual Mother Base. That seems like a safe bet. So for all the people asking, and thanks for all the questions on Twitter, for all the people asking,
should we go through the questions?
Yeah, let's get go through these. A lot of them I think we answered. A lot of people were asking about where is this in the MGS timeline? What does Ground Zeroes mean? So somebody actually had a hypothesis about this on NeoGAF.
Outer Heaven and Zanzibar.
Right. Yes, those would be the two. And then together those would be Ground Zeroes. So let's see, some other questions. People were asking if what the guard patterns look like, if we could tell like if they were going back and forth or
if they had like actual like routines.
Exactly, if they would leave and like go to the bathroom and stuff like that, which if this is an open world game, we didn't see any of that, unfortunately. Actually, we saw one guard in the tower.
Yes.
And he was just moving the spotlight.
And actually, we should mention too, because we kind of skipped this whole thing, but my impression, and Hiroko, you could probably correct me if I'm wrong, but my interpretation of the open world aspect of this is that presumably, he was saying you can go anywhere in the world, right? Mm-hmm. With your helicopter, yes. However you get there. So presumably you're transporting around to like different missions that are popping up at various times in different locations of the world,
right?
Dropping in, taking care of these missions, sort of Peace Walker style, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then you get out and you go somewhere else. So I think that's kind of their definition of open world. Is it's not like so much like one big city like GTA, but it's more like you can go anywhere at any time and do different missions.
Right. Well, and even in GTA,
I don't know. That's just my interpretation. I'm not exactly sure.
Even in GTA, there were GTAs where it was like, okay, here's the city. Now you're going to go to this city or whatever.
Right. You can cross the bridge or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, we don't know if it's like if it's going to be mission based. If there are going to be just a few hubs, big things. I mean, this base did look huge, but it did not look GTA for the entire city big.
Totally.
But we don't know.
They also said something about, I should have looked this up before the podcast, something about like returning to Fox or something like that, or you know what I'm talking about? There was like this bit where it sounded like Snake is back in Fox or something like that.
Well, there's they released the image that has the one image that they released, which looked to me, it almost looked a little bit photoshopped up. I mean, that was the snake that you saw in the thing.
The background looked kind of disconnected from the snake.
It didn't look like an in-game screenshot to me personally.
Right, right.
I think the game looked better, just that it looked more real, and this looked a little more like a fuzzy painting. Yeah, a little blurred up a little bit, a little painted on. But that says something about the two. What was it? The two phantoms.
Then
there's this whole Kojima was tweeting about the XOF and FOX Fox and the off or whatever they're doing with that, so that's gonna be a thing.
X of Fox. I don't know.
There's a question from Sheena Zure. They're boasting quote game without game over, but escaping from alerts is something MGS always done. What about death states? Like, so basically people are wondering like what if this game without game over thing is meant to be taken literally. When you get captured, does that mean you just get put in a jail?
And then you have to break out of that?
Right. And then you have to break out, or maybe it's just a penalty. They take away some of your money, like GTA or whatever, or your health. Or
maybe it's like an MMO or something in that sense. Like, you know, that sort of also ties into the open world where there's just stuff going on all the time. But there is maybe a core story to advance, but I don't know. Or maybe I just been playing too much Dragon Quest lately.
Yeah. I mean, something too stressful.
That sounds like a possibility.
I mean, for having seen 20, maybe 15 or 20 minutes of this game, 10 minutes of which was a cutscene, but we know incredibly little about it.
Yeah.
Completely. How it works, what the systems are like, much about the world. We can guess as the setting just based on previous games, but like in terms of raw gameplay, in terms of, well, how does this work? What is this? Oh, the million questions you have even of a new GTA game, which has established open world gameplay, we have no idea.
Yep.
Like, mm-hmm. when you think about it, it's like, shit, we actually, like, if you sum it up, he crawled around, shot a guy, got into a Jeep, yeah. and that was it.
And that's, and you know, that's very much also why this podcast is really valid for like a day, yeah. because yeah. then PAX is going to, we're going to get this stuff in English. And, you know, a lot of these, well, I don't know a lot, but I mean, presumably some of these questions are going to get answered. And right. a lot of this stuff is going to be less fuzzy, especially, you know, now they're going to be right. doing this presumably well, may, in English. And,
they
you know,
may not release the trailer. I don't know.
We don't know, but I mm-hmm. think they're going to release the trailer. They have to, or at least show it at PAX anyway. I mean, they kind of have to. So
if they're smart, they will release the trailer. They will show it at PAX, but then actually release it after the fact. Just get the buzz out of PAX, but there would definitely be like crazy riots if they don't do anything yeah. at PAX. So
well, I'm sure they'll show it there, but I don't think they'll release it to the, I mean, well, if they do, that would be
really
nice.
Even worth talking about.
Yeah, so because we'll know when yeah. people are listening to the podcast.
So yeah, people asking nitty-gritty details about the mechanics or physical. I think we took care of that. Was there a HUD sound effect? So I don't remember much of a HUD.
I don't
actually.
Either too. And you know that's I mean,
well, would they show you a HUD in a trailer? I mean,
this
was
sort of sprung
yeah,
upon us.
It was gameplay. I mean, there was actual gameplay.
He was
gameplay,
playing
so.
The game. So.
Obviously, HUD is one of those elements that comes up at the end, but it was pure. It was purely the world from right. from what I saw. Because
that would be cool
so.
If it was just like no.
I feel bad
display.
That we didn't focus on these little. But it was hard to because when you're in the middle. First of all, you're seeing something for the first time anywhere in the world, and you're kind
no,
of like
there's so many
and the
things that I,
and you
amazing.
Couldn't tweet about it. Yeah.
And, yeah. So that made it kind of tough.
A lot of people are asking too. Will there be a online multiplayer game included with this game? Like there would be. Again, that's something that's like well
where you need like 7 different passwords to get in.
Your guess is as good as ours. Yeah. So, I guess that hits about all of the big major points in the...
you know, we didn't actually, legitimately, clearly answer, though, the question of the timing. Like, I think, personally, I mean, I think we all in agreement here that we're after Peace Walker before yeah. whatever the next thing was, presumably right. before Metal Gear, I guess.
Before
right?
Metal Gear
1.
Yeah.
And my... It's really hard to place, too, because you would think, okay, naturally, this is probably the 70s. They played that music and everything. They've got a Walkman. Well, Walkman would be more like 80s.
Yeah.
Maybe late 70s. Yeah. But then, on the other hand, they've got that freaking tech that clearly didn't exist in that generation. So it's like, you know.
Well, no. I mean, it's Metal Gear. It's always going to be not. It's always
it's
a little
secret.
Ahead of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there still aren't codecs, and we're now past
sources.
Yeah. when that happened. So.
Yeah. Right. Definitely not, you know, Old Snake or anything like that.
It does seem like the most.
It's definitely Big Boss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, one more question.
Yeah.
Who was the kid? Who do you think the kid was? Did anybody ask that?
No, nobody asked that. People did ask to describe the kid, which I feel like we did, but again, 10 or 11, right. blonde,
he looked like a
boy.
Young JJ.
So,
I think
you know,
boy.
During the party, there was a kid that looked exactly like him.
Really?
Did they buy a white kid?
But it
put the white
like
kid
that.
In there.
It seemed like that.
Somebody
there was...
had a white kid at the studio. Mm-hmm. Bring him in. There were people cosplaying as the boss and
Solid Snake, yeah,
yeah.
Right. or whoever, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder. Like, and again, this is something that probably if we played Peace Walker all the way through, we'd have a better idea. But you have to wonder: is that Solid Snake, or you know, why were they in a camp full of these things? Are there other kids like him in there, or you know, what's right. the deal? It's very intriguing.
Mm. All the kids, saving the kids
for the children. Okay, let's keep going.
It's like Michael Jackson's Moonwalker. You go around and save children.
A lot of them. A lot of them tried to work into the description, so I think we hit. I mean, there were a lot of really good questions, so thank you for everybody. But that kind of just dictated what we talked about in the guide through. I mean, other people are asking about, do you accept missions? You know, that's all the kind of stuff we covered, basically. I think mm-hmm. everything we know about it. I will say the one thing that I did notice, people asking more technical questions. The camera movement, especially at the start, jerked every once in a while. And at first, I wasn't sure if that was part of it trying to be a point of view type thing. But it
wasn't
actually
there one part where it froze up too for a second. Remember when he was like he had stopped for a second and they were like waiting for him to move, or was he just the player was just playing bad? Maybe
I don't remember that.
I accidentally hit pause on the video.
Yeah, maybe okay. Maybe it didn't freeze up. I thought it would froze up, but it's possible the player just like was stuck.
I have a question. Was there any during the gameplay start?
Whoa, sorry.
During the gameplay parts, was there any like music, or was it all just like you could hear the rain and stuff like
people
that?
People did ask that about the music. Once the gameplay started, I don't remember
think we heard
one.
Anything.
Yeah, and they were talking. They might have had it turned down.
Yeah, Kojima was talking, so maybe they were like purposely turning.
Because
it'd
be
it
really
down.
Cool if you were like singing around, all you could hear was like the rain and like. You know,
yeah,
well, that's basically what it was. Yeah, the music came in on the parts like, you know, like we said when they gave the kid the tape recorder, there was that bit, and maybe when the chopper left, there was probably music. I don't exactly remember. I'm pretty sure it was.
And do we want to talk about the giveaways that they handed out?
Well, they don't really. They gave us a cool little cassette thing, but unfortunately, it doesn't pertain to anything new. It's got music from Metal Gear Solid 4 and Peace Walker. They did have like a live thing and a cool T-shirt.
Yeah.
They did have a live thing, a live performance of music at the party.
Cool.
Orchestrated.
And they had snacks,
which is awesome.
Little exclamation!
Bunch of game industry people gave like thanks on the video screen, like Hideki Kamiya, and like a lot of famous people in the industry were there.
Oh, and Suda
was there.
Girl.
An AKB girl who wasn't even born when Metal Gear came out.
So right. Also another Kojima.
Yeah, her name was Kojima.
Oh. Kojima Haruna. Mm-hmm.
You got her poster on your wall, JJ.
She's an attractive lady.
She is.
Yeah, she's like 12 too.
No, she's.
what else?
There was a magician.
Bending people's forks. Yeah, that was low light.
was that like, what is his name? Rudy Geller or something like that?
No, like they had a better one than like a settle.
Oh, Seto.
I don't know.
At their Uniqlo party. But this one wasn't as good as
Seto. Oh, is he the mentalist dude?
All right. No, JJ, we're trying to wrap
cutting
up.
Cutting this off.
One other thing. I want to know, what did you think of Social Ops? So Social Ops was the Gree like card game.
I don't care and I will never play it. I mean, it doesn't bother me anymore. I've gotten used to these series that I love putting out shitty games that I never care about.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that they're using Unity.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm not even saying it's a shitty game, only because it's a game that I have absolutely zero interest in because I think it looks like it's card-based. And
it looks like it is card-based.
And so, I mean, I'm very much interested in where these things are headed with Metal Gear as far as this goes.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not such an incredible super fan anymore that I want to play and own everything. So, I mean, for a Gree game, which is a huge quantifier.
Yeah.
It actually had polygons,
tallest,
had moving
tallest
things.
Tallest midget syndrome.
It had whatever, but I don't care.
There may be gameplay?
Yeah.
We don't know.
It looked like Peace Walker-ish graphically. I mean, from what I saw, but it's also on an iPhone and a little tiny screen, and those could be canned animations. Who knows? So.
Yeah.
Well, my question is, what about the movie? What do you guys... Are you guys looking forward to the movie?
Maybe, if it actually comes out.
Either... would look forward to it or totally dread it. It's one of those things where it's like, I mean, the odds are on the side of it being bad.
Like, Shia LaBeouf is Solid Snake. Well, not in a Michael Bay directed.
Well, that now.
Well, we know that's not happening at least.
I just mean in terms of, like script and setting and how much license they're going to take with it and whatever. I mean, maybe it's not going to be for, the crazy Metal Gear fans.
Well, I just want a good movie, and if it's that, I don't care how close it is to the actual
game. If I'm not mistaken, and I very well could be mistaken, because I usually am, I think Avi Arad is the dude who was responsible for Iron Man. Like, I know him
from
a
responsible
long time
for
ago.
A lot of
he was
Spider-Man's
basically he sort of got
X-Men's.
The Marvel Studios thing going.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal, but I don't know if people say he's also like involved in like the Uncharted movie and the Mass Effect movie too.
He's involved with a lot of shit, the bad Marvel stuff and the good Marvel stuff,
but he did have a lot of nice things to say about Kojima. He does seem to be familiar enough with the franchise and he has a lot of respect for it, and so
he looks dresses like a slob.
Hey, come on! What are you?
He's rich.
He doesn't have to dress. Nice.
I want to take him down a peg.
You're so fancy today in your Metal Gear T-shirt
that you can see through my. Yeah.
JJ called. He called dibs on the Metal Gear blue underwear.
Totally.
Oh, the long johns.
You guys in your long underwear, wearing
them. No one will ever know.
My current long johns have holes in them.
Well, you could wear like short jean shorts with and have them go down to your. Anyway.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I think that's a sure sign to wrap things up. So. Yeah, hopefully this was interesting for the next 24
hours
at least.
or at least six.
To the group of people.
He's on the plane. He's at the airport right now.
Yeah. So. Oh, you're checking his
tweeting.
This will probably come out when everybody's waking up. So.
But thank you for listening. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark McD.
I'm at John TV.
Hiroko84.
SPRSK.
Find 84 Play on Facebook. You can find us at 8-4.jp at our home on giantbomb.com.
Twitter 84 Play.
Twitter at 84 Play.
And thanks to everybody for the follows and the retweets and all that other. We got quoted and tweeted and everything all over
and
the place yesterday.
As well.
Yes, thanks and you're welcome. Yes.
So this is kind of a little special one-off episode, just a little thing we did because people
just
basically asked for it.
Yeah.
But we will be back next week with our normal, regularly scheduled
extremely
podcast.
Long.
It may be or may not be. We have to figure out how exactly we're going to do that. Yeah. But anyway, thanks for listening. Like us on iTunes or comment on our boards.
They get it.
Or
they get it.
Whatever.
Somewhere.
So that's it. Until next week.
Snake. Snake.
Snake. Snake!
Pretty good. Pretty good one.
Did you like it?